And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Block to Block Radio here on 91.5 FM, KKUP, Cupertino.
Oh, man, I got a living legend in the casa. Putting in work for a long time in the movement. He's been with the CWA, the communication workers, for how long? How many years now?
Going on 33, but hey, some of us call it the Chicano Workers of America.
There it is. You know, but there it is. That's right. I got Louis Rocha in the casa. He's going to be rapping to us today. Of course, the whole Occupy movement ordeal that's going down, but also before this whole Occupy movement started, there's been a lot of people out there fighting different battles.
We're
going to be rapping about the battle going on with Verizon, so you might even just want to throw your phone in a few. But how are you doing, Louis? How are you doing this morning?
All right, Dave. Hey, thank you for inviting me. It's good to be on this side of the mic.
You know, man.
And yeah, really, it's there's a lot of movimiento, a lot of movement taking place, and it's great to be around these days when that's happening, because you know things happen in cycles, and sometimes people feel like maybe the end is near, or that there's no hope, and that there's a lot of obstacles, and then you lo and behold, and there's a huge march, man, of thousands of people,
a movement
that just springs up, and that's what we're seeing right now, the Occupy movement. I think just a result of all the problems that gente are faced with, and they just said, yeah, basta, they've had enough, and they're rising up.
There it is.
General strikes are a weapon that workers use at times when they have their backs are against the wall, or when they have reached a boiling point where they view that there's no alternative. So general strikes are when workers of all the different unions come together and they withhold the labor, they stop working. And the difference, though, with this strike was that it was called by students, it was called by the community.
Wow.
And I think it still, though, recognizes the power, the potential for workers in this country to organize and to join together and say, Yavasa, that they've had enough, and they're going to show the powers that be, the corporate elite, the politicians, that they're not pleased with the way things are. So the community called the general strike, and they set the date on Wednesday, November 2nd, it was in response to the police riot that took place, that everybody probably have seen or heard about, you know, in the news. The police response was definitely heavy-handed, and to many of your listeners, that's probably nothing new. I mean, the police definitely can overreact, and in this case, many believe they did. They even shot with a projectile, a Iraqi war veteran who had went and served two tours overseas and came back, you know, in one piece, and then goes to a demonstration and gets nailed, you know, by the cops.
The irony of that.
So the thing that took place on November 2nd was a demonstration of unity that we have not seen in this country many times, and it's been a long time since it's been called a general strike. And although many of the people that took part weren't maybe union members, there were still lots of workers, a lot of teachers, a lot of public sector workers that are really right now under the gun. They're being blamed for the problems in this country, for the economic problems, which is really unfair. They're not to blame. In fact, you know, everything, the whole debate is upside down right now. Instead of us trying to lift everybody up, we're trying to tear everybody down, and we're pointing fingers.
That's right.
If someone's got a pension, we're saying, oh, hell, you know, I don't have a pension, so you shouldn't have one, you know, which is wrong. Instead of, you know, support saying, right on, man, how'd you get a pension, man? How can I get a pension?
Yeah.
You know, we're saying the debate, the politicians are trying to get us to say, hey, I don't have one, so you shouldn't have one. And really, at the end of the day, what this is about, it's a worse future for our kids and our grandkids than we have seen for generations. You're talking about not having any retirement security, any medical benefits. And bro, I heard you last week on the radio, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know what would it be like with no medical benefits?
Oh,
if you got a cold and you couldn't take care of it, you know what I mean? You know,
just drink water, lemons. That's it.
Atito, you know that, and that's what this struggle is all about. Yeah. Instead of us trying to take benefits and human rights, you know, what is more human than to have a good health care?
There it is.
A basic human need, housing, and those things. We should be fighting to have those for everyone versus taking away from those that have it and have a race to the bottom.
There it is. And, well, you know, I want to change speeds right now, too. Well, you're with the communication workers.
Yeah.
What's going on with Verizon? Now, it's all one and the same.
Yeah.
But tell us what's going on specifically with the communication workers and Verizon Wireless.
Well, yeah, good question. You know, Dave, the CWA communication workers, like other unions, we deal with corporate beasts. We go up against not only AT&T, but Verizon, as well as ABC. Members in our union not only work for a phone company, they also work in the media. They work for television networks. And so it's a constant battle with employers to rein in. You know, the whole purpose, the mission of unions is to get companies to share the wealth, because it's human nature, greed. As you know, it's a religious man. It's one of, you know, the seven, you know, deadly sin that in some times it seems like it's the number one, you know, ailment that mankind is faced with. And so corporate greed is a real threat, constant threat, and so unions' role is to force them at the table to share the wealth, and a lot of them do not like doing it, and usually it's only done when the workers have some power, some leverage. And so at Verizon, what's happening, and many of you that pay, you know, have a phone, may pay huge amount of money, especially if you got these, what they call the smartphones.
Oh, man, yeah,
they're expensive. The data plans and all that, they're more expensive than your regular old phone line that you got maybe in your house, because the rates are different. But so the long story short, Verizon's making money hands over fist. They're not like some employers that are losing money, that are struggling. They are making record profits, and I'm talking about in the billions of dollars. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to eliminate the pension for the new hires. So again, you know, circling back, they're trying to take advantage of this economic situation and to really hurt the next generation of workers. If you have no pension, basically you're never going to be able to retire. If you only have a 401k, it's a gamble. It's like, you know, you see Wall Street, it goes up and down. And if you try to retire when it's down, guess what? You ain't going to have enough money. And then to make matters worse, they're trying to reduce the medical benefits for families. And if you got kids, you know, heck, if your kids never get sick, great, no problem. But if they get sick and you got to pay out of pocket costs, you know, for the prescriptions, each medical visit, it adds up.
And it can snowball, man. And soon you got to put your house up, lose your home. And who knows?
If you got a serious illness, definitely.
Man.
So it's at Verizon, the struggle when it comes down to is they're making tons of money and they're being codos, they're being tight. They're being, as we say in Spanish, they're being tightwads, and they're not wanting to. And where they very well can pay it, they're choosing not to. So we're you know, been out there leafleting at the stores, and you know, especially Store and King, it's great, man. I know the security guards there. In fact, the security guards, when he came out, we got the flyers in Spanish. He read it. He goes and told me in Spanish. He goes, man, están haciendo lo mismo. You know, that they're doing the same thing to us. And so the security guards, the cops that have come out, we've been called, you know, the cops have been called out on me in Santa Cruz and Burlingame in San Jose, all over. And basically, when they read what's going on, their response is,
"Hey,
you know, we understand, and as long as we're cool, you know, we're not, you know, like my brother was saying, we're not, you know, tagging or breaking, you know, windows, stuff like that, which we wouldn't do, you know, that, and then it's cool. It's our First Amendment right. In fact, at the Milpitas Mall, I got rolled up by a security guard, and he tried to tell me that the mall was there property, their house, and that we couldn't do any of this leafleting. And I told him, well, is your house in the United States? And his response was, well, yeah. I go, well, you ever heard of the Constitution and there the First Amendment?
So what are folks doing? Besides the leaflet, are you asking folks to throw your phone away? Or
well, right now, well, no, good question. You know, we want companies to make money, you know, as long as they're doing the right thing, you know, because that's what means we're going to take more from them. So, you know, but right now we're asking the public to put off on upgrading to get the new iPhone 4S. That, by the way, we were out at the Apple stores when they launched it. And, I mean, we're giving the company a black eye wherever we can. And that's what the labor movement, what the community has, the advantage is we have people power. We got more. There's more people, working people, than there are rich people, just like 100, you know, 1,000 to 1 odds. So, you know, the odds are on our side. So we're out asking the public to hold off on upgrading if they can, you know, and that's we know we're having an impact because they're starting to close stores, and we don't want people to lose their job. But if people are losing their job, they have to blame Verizon, because it's, you know, and we've had the discussion with some of the workers that look at, you know, we're out there, we're trying to help them and their family. If we can reduce the medical benefit costs for the union workers, it helps all the employees.
Man.
And if we can save the pension, it helps everyone. We have a community that's better off if we got workers that are getting paid fairly, that are living decently, you know. And so that what we're asking, and you can go on a website. The website is where is it at? Right here. Unity@Verizon.com. It's Unity@Verizon, one word, .com, and you can learn more, sign a petition.
There it is. You know, alongside with the Verizon drama, you know, I want you to go ahead and take us real quick. We got some time. Take us to the general strike. For a lot of us, we're playing what do you call it, armchair quarterback on this one. You know what I'm saying? Believe me, I wanted to go to Oakland, but you know, I got some business. I'm trying to occupy my own house.
Yeah.
I'm trying to maintain my own place now to be out there worrying about occupying Oakland. But anyways, all joking aside, we seen a lot of stuff on the news. We seen some violence erupted. But besides that, we seen record numbers. We seen folks storming the port of Oakland.
Yeah.
And you were there. Won't you go ahead, give us a firsthand account of what it was like the beginning of the day. What was the vibe out there? What were people talking about? What is something, you know, mainstream media is not letting folks know about what's really going on out there?
Well, you know, the event, the day was planned by the community. The General Assembly set the agenda, agreed on the agenda. They had targets throughout the day. They had rallies starting. They had banks that were targeted at 11 o'clock that they gathered and marched on and shut down. They actually shut down several bank branches in the downtown area. If you haven't been up to the Oakland, Occupy Oakland, it's like a little village within the city. They have medical tents. They have food tents. In fact, on the day of the general strike, they had people giving free artwork out. The difficulty that they're faced with is when you open up an event to everybody and anybody, you get everybody and anybody.
There it is.
And there's people that have a different agenda. You know, I, for one, know that violence is a fact of life. It's a reality in the barrios. I mean, the people are hollering about all the vandalism and the violence taking place. But, you know, what about the murders, about the all the heartache that's going on in the barrios and the ghettos every day?
Yeah,
and there's no headlines about that. Unfortunately, the way the media works, unless you're starting a fire or there's some big ruckus, they don't really cover it.
Yeah.
So the stories of all that's happening in the communities of the bloodshed and the vandalism is just not noticed. But once you start messing with the white palaces, you're going downtown, you know, the four-star hotel, then it's in the news. So, but the media did, at first the police estimated there was only 3,000 to 5,000 people, but it was 10 times that.
Wow.
There was easily upwards 50,000 people when the march started to shut down the port, it was incredible. Tens of thousands. If you were here during the immigration march, that's the best analogy, a comparison I can make during the San Jose May Day march, where the streets were just filled and the line went on forever, the march. That's what it was like. But what was incredible was the mix of people. There was all races, and especially the young people are really the drivers in this. I had mentioned it earlier that in a lot of the movimiento, the movement, there's a lot of old timers like me that are there, the usual suspects. Every march you see the same people. This one was different. New blood, a lot of new gente. And I think everybody's just collectively saying, you know, we've had enough, and we want to voice our frustration. And when they shut down the port, that was pretty incredible, because the streets were basically filled to the point that no one could leave or enter, and that's what did it. Now, the challenge is going to be, you can't probably do that every day, because unless you have the unions, the workers there leading because then you're going to risk running into a confrontation with them, because there's some people that, like the truck drivers, they don't get paid by the hour, they get paid by the load. So if they're not driving or delivering, you know, they're losing out.
You're and messing a lot of, with their money now.
Well, and a lot of them are immigrants. They're not the other people that have been there generations. So they're hustling. They got to hustle to survive. And so, but at the end of the day, David, it was an incredible sight, a historical event, and that hopefully it's just the beginning. There's going to be more. And just the last comment, because I know you got to get to that Friedman music, man, that I'm used to listening to, is that this will continue, and that it will be a movement that spans all groups, especially the youth are going to be key on this, because believe it or not, at one time I was young, and when the movement back in the day, you know, was what got me started down this path, and that if we can keep people a part of the movement and keep them energized, and there's hope, there's a future worth, you know, fighting for out there, because that's the dynamic that will make it happen, is that you get more people, younger people involved, and we keep going hasta la victoria siempre, you know, like Che Guevara said, you know, until we get that victory, you know, always, that's our goal. Keep our eye on the prize.
Oh, yeah. I want to thank you, Luis Rocha, for coming down today. Before I let you go, though, I you know, there's been word. I've been reading a lot, especially out there in Wall Street, out there in Nueva York, and I think it's going to be catching on here. There's actually some folks passing out leaflets where it's called Occupy Your Hood, Occupy the Hood, and where a lot of folks out there are encouraging more people of color, if you will, more of the black, more of the brown, a lot of the folks from the barrio, the ghetto, to be more involved in this. And I really do think that's a beautiful thing. What's the message you want to give to our gente out there that may not be involved?
There's strength in numbers, hope in numbers, that the movement starts at one point, any movement, and that we are seeing that there's plenty of reasons around us to get active. And I would ask that your listeners find a way, like you said, you know, to occupy your home, to occupy your barrio. That's a good point. Like, know your neighbors. Hell, you know, in my neighborhood, we know the neighbors. We talk to them, you know, the chinos, the, you know, the negros, the blancos, everybody. And we know we're tight as to really, like, it's a good point, you know, to bring that fight to your neighborhood, to your family, and also to support others. And that's the last comment I would make, is that if you want people to support your struggle, then you need to get out there and support others. And that's what makes the movement what it is, you know, I'm there for you, Dave, you're there for me, and then we're there for each other, and that's how the movement builds.
There it is. We can't be crabs in a bucket no more. We need to get together. Luis Rocha, I want to thank you for coming down this morning.
You got it. Hey, it was my pleasure. Hey, gracias, David.
Luis Rocha, putting it down for the CWA Communication Workers. I want to thank him for giving us a shout-out coming down this morning. You need to get up on game and get involved. That is right. You're tuned in to 91.5 FM, KKUP, Cupertino. This is Block to Block Radio. Stay tuned.